I'm Hector Garcia, and in 2012, I started an advertising agency in my daughter's pink bedroom and with $750. Today, that agency is worth over $10 million. It took a lot of pain, plenty of failure, and a lot of hustle. Running a business isn't easy, but today I want to share with you what you usually don't see beyond the hustle.
Thank you for joining us for the episode number 2 of Beyond the Hustle. I am joined here today with Daniel Benavides. He is the CEO and owner of Hustle Never Stops facility out in East Houston, which is a training facility, gym. It's everything, right, Daniel?
Yeah, a little bit of everything, man.
Yeah, he has quite the story, and I'm excited to have him today on today's podcast. Daniel, I'm excited to have you. Thank you for showing up to share with the listeners, entrepreneurs, and people out there about your story, being transparent. This stuff is not easy, by the way. If you're watching and you're listening, being able to be transparent about your failures and your overcomings is not an easy thing, but we understand that, hey, if I was able to hear this 20 years ago, I would do things much differently. Daniel's from Houston. Tell me about yourself, Daniel.
Yeah, so I was born here, born and raised here in Houston. Did live in California for a few years, but for the most part of my life, I've been here ever since.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, just Houstonian all the way.
Yeah, and on the east side of Houston.
Yeah, grew up on the east side. Woodland Acres, if anyone's familiar with that, small little area right by Channelview.
But right.
Yeah, man.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Galena Park.
Yeah.
So I went to Woodland Middle School, graduated from Galena Park, and yeah.
Tell us about your facility, H&S.
So H&S, Hustle Never Stops Training Facility, is pretty much started as a smaller gym. Thank God we were able to kind of expand to where we are now. But it's a little bit of everything. We don't call it a gym specifically,
more right.
a training facility, because we have a little bit of everything, from bodybuilding, powerlifting, CrossFit, functional training, boxing. Those are a few of the things we have now, but there's definitely a lot we're going to be adding as time goes.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're watching, I'm a, you might not be able to tell, but I asked you to go there too as well. I love the facility. I don't even call it a gym. I call it a community.
Yeah.
And I love everything about this gym. You know, one thing is that before I even started this podcast, and when I was envisioning the podcast, the people on it, Daniel was definitely one of the first ones I wanted to make sure I was telling that story, because I love what he was able to apply in the vision of the gym. The gym is not like in the nicest neighborhoods of town. It's actually right in the middle of the east side, blue collar, and you get everybody from all around Houston going there. And I love it. Like, it's real. I mean, yeah. I go to Lifetime. That's part of, because I travel a lot. So Lifetime is part of my memberships. And then I also go to H&S, right? So, and man, I love when I show up to H&S. I love the people there. I love the community that's there. I feel like I'm being held accountable. And I can't wait to get to the gym just because of the atmosphere. Even if I'm there by myself at 6 in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning and it's empty, I love just being there just by the smell of the iron and even sometimes the barbecue next door.
Yeah.
Right. But it's just real and authentic, and I love it. And I wanted to make sure that your story is being told about what you were able to do differently at this gym, because I've been to different gyms across the country. And I have not seen anything else that's what's happening at your facility. But even beyond that, there's a story to you as an entrepreneur, as somebody who has, you have two kids?
Yeah, two little girls.
You have two little girls. You have a wife. You've been married. You've been together, it seemed like you said 20, 24 years?
25
years. So business owner to business owner, and people who are watching, you know, it's not easy running a business, being married.
Being a dad.
And being a dad. And juggling all that. And, you know, props to you, man. And I'm not here to try to say glorify business ownership. I'm definitely here to tell, we're here to tell a story of what got you there, and what's keeping you there. In your childhood years of when you were young, you were raised in Houston's East Side, you know, before even high school. Tell me about your growing up, because a lot of this, as an entrepreneur, I believe that, you know, business owner, I believe that, you know, what you do in business is a result of who you were and how you were raised. Even if it wasn't like, truly entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
There's stuff that you learned or something that you went through at a young age that you apply today as a business owner. Tell me about yourself as a kid.
Well, so where do I start? But yeah, man, growing up, like everybody else, man, I had my mom, my dad with me. Unfortunately, they separated at a young age. And due to that, I was living in California for a few years with my mom. It was up to about 8 or 9 years old. My mom ended up passing away, and I was forced to move back here, back with my dad, the rest of the family. I have family on both sides, but pretty much moved back down here, man, and was been here ever since. So since I was nine till present day, I've been here with my dad. It's I wouldn't say I was gonna. I lived the regular, your traditional, white picket fence type of.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in the hood, man. That's what I was used to. Don't get me wrong. There's some worse parts of the neighborhoods, but I've seen some things. I've been through some things, and sometimes I'm surprised I'm here. I'm here in the position that I'm in, being a business owner, an entrepreneur. But yeah, man, growing up, like I mentioned, it wasn't your regular childhood. I was surrounded by some things that a lot of people weren't normally around. A lot of drugs, things like that. That was the norm to me.
Right.
And it wasn't, I wouldn't say like me doing drugs as a young age. It was like literally being around it, like drug dealers, people in my family, helping them do stuff to get certain things out the house and things like that. That's
realistically a form of business.
Yeah.
It's business.
Well, yeah. If you look at it, it is, man. Definitely is a way of making money, making it fast.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe that's where it came from.
Right.
I just didn't have that mindset. I would say like your traditional entrepreneur, like doing things at a young age of selling stuff. Not in that sense.
Sure.
And this was in a whole different way, selling different things.
Sure.
But yeah, man, growing up, that was my lifestyle. That's what I knew. That's all I was around. And I don't know, maybe that's the worst.
And you said you lost your mom, sorry, by the way, at the age of 8 years old.
Oh man, that's fine.
You know, then you had to move back to Houston or back to Texas. And that's a traumatic situation at a young age that you had to go through at such a young age to get to where you are today. I mean, as far as like, at a young age, that's a changing transformational part of your life.
Yeah. And it wasn't easy, honestly, man. I mean, being young, from one day to the next, kind of your mom's there and then she's not.
Yeah.
And honestly, I've never really talked about that much, man. It's just one of those things like that. That's life.
Sure.
I get it. But it was a rough childhood, I would say, growing up, because my dad was married, which I had my stepmom, which I love to death now. But back then, it wasn't the relationship that you would want as a child.
Right.
Coming back at 19 years old, I was cooking for myself. I was washing my own clothes. I was doing things like that. Like, it just wasn't that love like you would for your own kids, I would say.
Right.
I have stepbrothers and stepsisters as well. And we were definitely treated different. I also have older brother, older sister from my mom and dad. We weren't treated, I would say, equal all across the table as a family. But that's life, man. I didn't know no better. I was just a kid. I'm like, man, she don't like us. It is what it is. I have to do things on my own.
And what would you say as a youngster, your biggest influential person that you had?
Man, honestly, back then I wasn't really looking into people. Like, my mindset wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was just like, how can I make a quick buck?
Sure.
Things like that. I just didn't have that kind of role model, man. And the people I was around weren't the ones that you were looking to grow up to be like.
Sure.
So it wasn't, like I said, it was just, I was going to school cause I had to, skipping school, things like that. I couldn't pinpoint and be like, man, I want to be like that person. Cause I just didn't have those kind of people in my life.
And I mean, looking back, you find yourself grateful for those moments, or do you find yourself like, man, for instance, I look back in situations in my life, I said, man, if this didn't happen in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for it. I'm not thankful for the actual.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely a firm believer, man, that things happen for a reason.
Sure.
I mean, like I said, I'm here now.
Yeah.
So maybe the things that happened back then were kind of to get me where I'm at today.
Yeah.
Do I wish some things would have been different? Yeah, man, we all do. I would have wanted to have some things different. That's just the cards that I was dealt. So it's like, I had to deal with what I had.
So you moved back to Texas and then here you are. And then you end up going to North Shore. What school did you go
Galena
to?
Galena Park.
Galena Park High School. Tell me about your high school years.
High school, man, I still look back. I don't know how I graduated, but I did. I was a student that would skip, man, just like to party, drink, do all that kind of stuff. At that age, I was doing a little bit of drugs, man. Not heavy into it,
sure,
but peer pressure, things are going right. That, man. But there was a more alcohol involved than anything. Come Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's like, all right, let's drink. Wasn't one of those that was out just partying at people's houses all the time. This is more like it happened here at my house, at my dad's right. house. Our family and friends would get together, man, and you just catch us till 2-3 in the morning outside drinking, man. That was the norm to us.
And I found out that your family is very close together.
Yeah.
You're a very close family. I think that's a huge blessing, by the way. Some families, I know some people that don't have that blessing, have the close-knit family that you do. But you have a great support system of cousins and stuff like that, right?
For sure, man. Yeah, even growing up, we were always close. My brothers, my cousins, man, we just always had that tight community with each other, man. We hung out a lot.
Right.
And that's just something we've always, it's just always been with us, man. We've always treated each other like brothers. We would just
fight with each other.
Literally.
Yeah.
We would all meet up at my dad's, man. My dad used to barbecue a lot.
Sure.
So he would bring the family together a lot, man. Barbecues. I mean a lot, like multiple times a week.
Yeah.
It would get to the point where in middle school, I'd be getting dropped off, man. And my dad's got the pit fired up and everybody already knew it's like.
Brisket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad loved to cook, man. Like I said, God rest his soul. He's passed already, okay. But. That was his hobby, man.
So tell me about your dad.
So growing up, man, my dad, he wasn't the, I would say, father figure mm-hmm. that we would all want. My dad would never showed any kind of affection growing up to him. I mean, being that he was the type that was more into this drug side of things,
right.
I would say. The way he bought our love, I see it now, is with money.
Right.
Most times. You see your dad traditionally, man, you go, hey man, I love you, give you a hug, this and that. That wasn't my dad. He was never like that. My dad was like, me at being 12, 13 years old, hey, here goes $200, $300. Like when I was like, damn, that's a lot.
Right.
A lot of
yeah,
money
right, right, yeah.
But I'm assuming to me, man, that was just his way of kind of showing some kind of affection.
Sure.
But you rarely, if anything, man, got like a hug or a I love you, like none of that. He was very tough on us. I'm not going to lie. If we did something, man, he called us out on it. It was a little rough.
Sure. But,
I mean, like I said, man, that's the cards we were dealt. So I understood it.
How old were you when he passed?
This was recent.
Okay.
So I just lost my dad to cancer in October of 23.
Wow.
Recently, man. And we would joke around with him because my dad was a heavy drinker.
Yeah.
And he had cirrhosis of the liver for, man, about 20 years. We would joke around with him like, man, we're surprised you made it this long.
Yeah.
He'd get off of drinking and the doctor, my dad was very old school.
Sure.
So as soon as the doctor told him, hey, man, you're doing better. Like, you're doing good, but not in the sense to go drink again. That was his green light to like, hey, man, the doctor said I'm doing good.
Right.
So, he would drink again. And it got to the point where he would drink and immediately he would feel it. Like we had a few scares at 22, I would say. Where he had to go to the hospital, and I think that was a big reality check to him.
Yeah.
Where he had to be taken in, man, and then he's never been to that situation to where it's like, okay, this is serious. And having all his kids there, kind of like, hey, dude, you need to stop. Like this isn't going to end well if you keep going that route. But he ended up cleaning it up, man. I mean, unfortunately, his body had already been through a lot. And early 23, he ended up getting cancer of the liver. And that just seemed like it just snowballed really quick with the previous illnesses he had and stuff like that. He just wasn't able to beat it. And unfortunately, we lost him in October.
Sorry to hear that, but I'm sure he's very proud of you and
yeah.
to see that, you know, the business you were able to build to that point, man. And I my sincere apologies.
No, man, it's life, man. I get it. And but it was good, man. Yeah. Those last few months, I was blessed that I have the gym. I'm the owner. So I had a lot of free time to be able to do things when I needed to. So I would say those last 6 to 8 months, I was taking him to the hospitals, giving him his checkups. I felt like we talked a lot more in those few months than we probably ever have.
Wow.
Although, man, nobody wants to see their dad pass, I felt like when that chapter closed, I was at ease with it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of like we had our conversations, man. Everything we had to talk about was out. He definitely is like just showing love and how proud he was. And to me, that spoke a lot. Like, man, he's good with me.
And now you're a father yourself. father for how long?
My oldest girl will be 5 in March.
Okay.
So time goes fast, man.
Yeah.
But even then, I got to see him enjoy time with them.
Okay.
He definitely got out of what...
You saw him probably a different perspective as a grandfather than he was as a dad.
Yeah, for sure, man. If anything, I can say that. Mm-hmm. He would show my little girls a lot of love, like hug them, tell them he loves them, stuff like that. Things I never
got. The affectionate part.
Yeah, I wish. I was like, man, you know what? If they're getting it, I'm good with that. Like,
right.
I'm good. And I don't know. I guess growing up not having that, that's why I love my girls to death, man. I do anything and everything for them.
Yeah. So, I see you guys on social media. You seem like a great father, and the balance of being able to be an entrepreneur and then also being a husband too, as well. Tell me about your wife, and because I tell people this all the time is that that the true CEO and owner of Brand Nation is not me; it's my wife. She's the one that says the yes and no's, and she actually writes the checks out. And actually, I'm the one. So I do have a boss. I have my clients, and I have her, she could fire me anytime. But you know, tell me about your wife, because that's probably the true. That's your backbone, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Just like you said, bro, she's definitely the backbone to everything I've done. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be where I'm at. I can honestly say that, man.
Yep.
Growing up, she was, when we started dating, man, she had a good head on her shoulders. I could tell immediately. I mean, she was going into nursing school, doing things while I'm at home, just doing nothing, drinking, the usual. As a few years went by, man, being with her, I was like, all right, I need to get my shit together, because either A, she's going to leave me. That was pretty much the only option.
Yeah.
There was no other option. So she really kind of lit that fire under me, man, to be like, all right, I need to do better for myself and for her. My fitness journey started because of her. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be.
And we were talking about that. You were actually, you said you were kind of out of shape when you first started.
Yeah.
By the way, I was too as well. So, we're almost in the same situation. I was actually 230, 235.
Yeah, I was about 220.
And I was.
But you're taller than me, so it probably looked worse on me.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't recognize me if you saw pictures from me 4 years ago. But you were unhealthy. You weren't happy with yourself.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we kind of both reached that point in our life, mm-hmm. where it's like, man, we were already married, living together, and it's just like, all right, man, like, this is enough. I think we were like, enough was enough. And that kind of pushed her to start working out, getting into it. It took me a little bit longer.
It still
took her dragging my arms a little bit, like, all right, we need to go. But she started going to CrossFit back in about 2012 or 13, a few years ago. She was going. She was going for about 3 months. During the time that she was going, I don't know if you're familiar with CrossFit or everything that goes on with them.
A lot of injuries for me.
So I'm sitting at home, or the games. Have you seen like
the games?
Yeah. Those dudes are savages. They're beef.
Sure, man. Yeah.
So when she's telling me, yeah, I'm going to CrossFit, I'm doing this, I'm at home occasionally having a drink here and there. I'm looking at that on TV. Uh-huh. And I'm like, there is no way.
Right.
There's no way you expect me to do these ring muscle ups or have this weight over my head.
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah, there's no way. So yeah. I think that's what was discouraging me for the most part. Till finally I gave in. I was like, all right.
American Ninja Warrior stuff.
Yeah, stuff like that, man. It was wild. And I was used to like 24 hour, just go get a pump and call it a day.
Yeah.
But I went, man.
And then go eat McDonald's right after that.
Yeah, because I felt accomplished.
You deserved it.
Yeah. I ended up going, man, and the first time, I never looked back after that, mm-hmm. dude. I remember the first day I went. Funny story is an old friend of mine that lived in the neighborhood, her husband owned it. Well, her and her husband owned it.
Right.
So I was like, damn, small world. And this was over there in Atascocita as well. But the first day I went, I was the one in the back of the class with the hoodie on, mm-hmm. all black, like just everything, man. I threw up. I think I threw up. And I was just looking around like, how are these people doing this?
Yeah. Dude?
How are they just nonstop? Like, that's how the new members now, like, look at us. And it's like, but I was like, how do these people do this 6 times a week? Like, it don't make sense to me. Like, how do you have that energy? The owner, which is Rob, he ended up coming up to me after class. He was like, hey, man, how was class? I couldn't even talk. I was just like, dude, I'm done. Like,
right.
Like, whatever. I threw in the towel. He's like, man, don't say nothing. He kind of gave me a pat on the back, like, just come back tomorrow. And that, dude, that was like what flipped the switch for me. After that, dude, I kept going. Ended up being the person that showed up early, that left late. I started taking nutrition serious, looking up certifications to get, become a coach, just things that I was doing on my own.
Right, yeah.
It just became a lifestyle to be like, man, I like this. Like, I feel good, feel confident. I mean, you know that
it
brings out of you.
The endorphins afterwards kick in. It's a natural high.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it's like, I had dropped, I want to say about, 20, 30 pounds, man, in the first few months. And that's when I started taking the nutrition part a little bit more serious.
Sure.
Because in the beginning, I was one of those CrossFitters that was like going 6-7 days a week. But after a while, I was like, people keep asking, hey, you're still doing CrossFit 6 days a week? But I didn't look it.
Sure,
as you
sure.
Say. Yeah. Well, I didn't have no muscle tone, nothing. Yeah. I was just soft. So it got to the point where I was like, I don't even like saying that no more, man. Like, I've been here 6 days a week. It don't even look like it.
Yeah.
So that's when we started taking our nutrition serious.
Okay.
Where it's like, all right, we need to learn macros. We need to learn how to track food and stuff like that. And I remember in 1 year when we started doing that, man, I went from weighing 180. The next year I weighed 180 as well. But the physique change was like
night
like,
and day.
Oh, wow. Like, I can actually see I got muscle.
Yeah.
Like, it was the same weight, but I could tell a big difference physically on how I look.
Yeah. So during all this time, you're now you're going to CrossFit, but and then you at this time, you already had kids or you're just
no kids? No kids.
And then you're working where? What are you doing for a living?
I was working at Coca-Cola
okay.
at that time. I was there for a pretty long time. I went from working in the warehouse to loading trucks with the forklifts. And eventually I made my way into the fleet department. Always had a background in working on cars growing up. That's just what I did, kind of a gearhead. So I just, it only made sense, like if a position opened up. And thank God it did. So I was able to squeeze my way in there and just started moving up that ladder. I went from being just one of the techs there, the mechanics there, to being the lead guy there. So I was kind of running that whole side of Channelview from the fleet department's point.
Right. And how long were you there? 15 years?
I was there total 15 years at Coca-Cola. And I was in the fleet department running that about 6 years.
Okay. I'm sure you learned a lot about business and management and leadership.
Yeah, there. Definitely the leadership stuff, man. I did have people under me and people we had to talk to a lot and just taking care of the, I wouldn't say customers because it was our truck drivers.
Sure.
But having to get things for them, talking to their supervisors and stuff like that, man. It's definitely an experience that I think helped kind of get me where I'm at.
Yeah, so here then this is probably what, 2012, 2013 time frame or 2014?
It was anywhere between when, I'd say 2012 to about 16.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're working Coca-Cola, you're getting involved in the CrossFit, right? And then you're looking at your dieting. So obviously then passion for fitness was a big driving force for you, right?
Yeah.
And then we're coming around about 2016, 2017. All of a sudden, what happened? Because there was something happened that made you want to leave corporate America and leaving that facility that you've been working for 15 years to pursue opening a gym and to where you are today. But tell me, what was that? What was the driving factor? What was that light bulb moment that said, okay, let's do this?
So kind of goes back to the CrossFit when I was working out there. At that point, I was always paying attention how they were running their businesses, how I would go to different gyms.
Yeah.
I don't know, something about me then that was interesting to me, the whole gym side of it. Going to a few different gyms, I was kind of looking at how these owners were running it. And like, I was looking at it as like, if I had my own gym, I would probably do this different, do that different. So I was kind of, although I was there, I was also paying attention to how things were being run. A few years before we actually opened up, I was already certified. By that time, I was given an opportunity to coach where I was at. One of the coaches had left and the owner, Rob, he's with us now. He gave me the opportunity. He was like, hey man, there's an opening, been here long enough if you want to give it a shot. So I did. It was a little difficult kind of going from bullshitting with your peers now telling them what to do.
Right.
Some of them don't take you serious, but it's like, you had to put a different hat on at that time. And during that time, that's when everything was kind of brewing in my head. I was like, if back then CrossFit, which they're kind of changing now, some of them are a little bit different, but the way a CrossFit was run, it was they were only doing classes.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, when I was doing it, they only had classes. It was 5 a.m., 9 a.m., and 5, 6, and 7 p.m.
Right.
You think that's five classes in 24 hours. I was like, dude, they're losing so much. Like just CrossFit's in general, the way they're running, they're leaving so much money on the table. Like you guys are closed most of the time. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
And I would catch myself going to Lifetime, the one in the Atascocita right there. And that's where it's kind of like, man, if I could open up a gym, this is what I would do different.
Sure.
I was like, I would have my classes rolling and I would also have a gym. And technically, I just need one person to stay at the front.
Yep.
And I'm still making money.
Two birds with one stone.
But I don't have to be there. Yeah. I'm there to coach the classes. But as soon as that's done, I'm gone and the gym's still making revenue.
Right.
So that made sense to me. And I'm like, there wasn't many gyms at that time doing that, if any, that I recall. And I guess the idea really wasn't, people weren't doing it because back then it was like the CrossFitters and the bodybuilders.
Yeah,
it always
had
like they were bumping heads.
Sure.
They were always just talking shit about each other back and forth. But I was like, you know what, man, if you just build a place where everybody goes to train, I mean, why shouldn't they get along?
Okay.
And that's kind of where that brewed up. So that was in my head already, kind of. Like, man, this is what I would do.
Right.
And then I ended up having dinner one day with my cousin, which is my partner now, Jose. We were having dinner, his wife, my wife. And I just kind of spit that idea. Like, hey, dude, like if I could do a gym, this is what I would do.
Right.
I kind of threw it out there. Didn't think nothing of it. About a few weeks later, he comes back and he's like, hey, man, remember you were saying that about that gym, this and that? I was like, yeah. I mean, I didn't think nothing of it. I just speaking my mind. He's like, let's do it. I was like, kind of thrown back.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? Like, let's do it. He's like, I'm in it with you. And I mean, we don't know nothing about business, man. So it's one of those things. It's like, bro, I don't know nothing about this. I just know I like to train and help people.
It's a big risk.
Yeah, there's no manual for this. That we like. How do we do this?
We still learn today. You've been in business what, 8 years now?
Yeah, I'm still not in there. I still think I don't know nothing, man.
Still on page one.
I'm still learning. Still reading, that table of contents. But he kind of threw it at me, and it was one of those things, like, it stuck to me for a few weeks. It was like, man, if I don't do this, it's going to be one of those moments where I was like, damn, what would have happened?
Yeah.
But at the time, it was also hard because I had job security.
And
I was
insurance.
Already 15 years in. I had insurance, 401, pension, which a lot of companies don't even do that no more.
Yeah, vacation time.
Yeah, weeks of vacation.
Well, that probably you probably didn't think about that until later.
Yeah, all that started hitting.
Because you thought you were going to have plenty of vacation when you started a business.
I had a choice and like, man, all that started coming up fast. But yeah, man, you just don't. I'm like, because I knew if I go into this, I had to go in full time.
Right.
Meaning I had to leave everything I know. Thank God my wife had an amazing job. And when we bought our house, for some reason, we thought about that.
Yeah.
I was like, we need to buy a house and live within our means because of what if something happens to one of us.
Right.
Thank God we did it, man. I think things happen for a reason. But I ended up just taking that plunge, told my cousin, like, let's do it. Let's do it, bro. That was 2016.
That's insane.
That was kind of coming up. So I already made plans to like, all right, December, like
we're gonna do it.
This is the end of the Coca-Cola era,
right?
For me.
How old were you?
Shit, I'm 41 now.
Yeah.
So this was what?
34, 32,
yeah.
About 33. Yeah.
I'm bad with numbers, man.
Yeah, same.
That's why he's the finance person. Right. Takes care of all that. But yeah, I was around there.
Yeah.
But it was just hard, man. It was hard because now we're going from two incomes to one. So that was the other thing. It's like, if I'm going to do this, I got to go in full time, meaning I got to quit my job. We got to just live off my wife's income because I was going to have to be the coach, the maintenance, the front desk person. I had to be. We didn't have money to be like, hey, man, let's just hire
people.
Staff.
Yeah.
No, we weren't.
You didn't have capital.
Yeah, we didn't have, I mean, we had some to a certain extent, but we also
bare necessities.
Yeah, we had to kind of build this place up.
Yeah.
So we ended up just, we pulled the trigger. We did it. We were looking for, even that was still.
But you had no members.
No. When we first were bringing up the idea, man, there was a lot of traction through, I guess, family and friends that they were like, hell yeah, man, I'm proud of you. I want to be a part of this, blah, blah. At the end, I'm always like, yeah, they're going to support you for a little bit, man.
Sure.
That's
right.
That's the norm.
Sure, yeah.
We're going to give you that 1 month and
Right.
And then they're gone. Yeah. So it was just like, is this going to happen? But again, back in my head, it was like, all right, this needs to happen. I always looked at it. I was like, I can't fail. So if this does, something's going to come of this. And if it don't, I'll pivot and do something else. But I have to, like, I can't let my wife down. I can't let my cousin down. Like, there's too many people now that they got a lot on the line, including me. Like, I was like, I'm not going to Coke. By that time, I was fed up with that place, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going back. So we ended up looking into a lot of stuff, man. It took a while. We didn't just find this one building either. This was like most of that year of 16. We're like, all right, our original goal was to be in Humble, Tascancita, mm-hmm. somewhere in that area. We were lucky, man, and just no background in business. So it was hard. It wasn't like, hey, man, here's a building.
Right.
We didn't have no credit business-wise.
Sure.
So it's kind of hard to have somebody back you when you have nothing to stand on.
Right.
So that part was hard. We were probably looking for a building, man, I would say close to a year. We would get close to getting one. Somebody would come from under us, man, and just either pay cash or doing something. And it just didn't work out in our favor in the beginning, where I was like, dude, this ain't gonna, like, this, the hell am I doing? Like, this ain't working. This is the last year that I already knew I was gonna leave Coke. So that year we were looking for buildings and stuff like that. And it got to the point where I was like, dude, nothing is coming up. Like, damn, am I making the right move? We ended up coming across a building, which is the one we moved right before this location, which is right on I-10. And I looked at it. I seen the square footage, and it just wasn't like, I was like, dude, this, like, I don't know if this is going to work. It's just, it looked run down. I ain't gonna lie. It looked like a house, and they just added some
different sections.
Yeah, literally. Cause even the inside had like a house roof.
Right.
But the crazy part is we weren't looking at that area. It was back in the hood where I grew up in. So it's kind of like
full circle.
It brought me back 5 minutes from my dad's house. Mm. I think that helped, honestly.
Isn't that crazy?
The community was like already, yeah. I was familiar with that side of town. So I'm grateful we went there, because I felt like people were more into like, all right, man, I'm going to jump in. You're right down the street. I've been knowing you for a while. So I think it worked out. And then the crazy part, before we even jumped in there, my cousin was telling me that he was driving on the freeway. It's right off I-10. You could see the freeway. Before that, it was like a small furniture place. And there was some writing on the wall. His mom had no idea that that was our building. We hadn't told nobody. This was just between us and our wives. She just happened to glance at that building. And I forgot what it said. It was something in Spanish. But she translated it to it being a stepping stone. Like, that's what it meant.
Right.
And my cousin calls me immediately. He's like, dude, like, my mom just said this about that specific building. She has no idea we're in there. She's just happened to glance. And she's like, oh, look what it says on the side of that wall. And that's what it translated to. And I was just like, I don't know if that's a sign or what, but I was like, we'll take it. We ended up jumping in that building, man. I went in, and the hard part was I had to make that decision on my own. Everybody was busy working. They couldn't take time off. I met with the realtor, and I was the only one that was available. So I go in there and do this. This place was a mess. I mean, when it was a mess, they were subleasing all these rooms. So you had walls knocked down, AC units everywhere. It was just a mess. It was a tire shop at the end. So it was just, it was hard because I was the deciding factor.
Right, like, yeah.
I sent a video to my cousin, man, and they were like,
that's a big stepping stone.
Like, yeah. Are you sure? That place looks run down. But I was already like drawing out in my head, like, man, I see this here, this there, this. I think that's one thing I've always had with me is like, I can see things.
Sure.
I'm a car guy. And
you're visionary.
I could always see. I love building cars. I could always see what it was going to look like done. So this was no different to me. I could already see, all right, I'm going to have this platform here. I'm going to have this.
You can see the results.
Here. Yeah, I literally went home, mm-hmm. drew it out, and I was like, all right, I'm going to have this. I still have that.
Big drawing. Dreamer. You're a big dreamer. Drawing, you can see. You could look at this table and probably turn it into a yacht.
Something, right? Man. Yeah, I could see things that somebody else would just be like, yeah, I don't see nothing here. But I'm like, I see the potential in
sure.
it. I see the finished product. And I'm assuming that's what kind of helped, man, because even with our-
But you're like that with people, though, too.
Yeah, that too.
You see that with people because you're doing that in fitness.
Yeah,
that right? too, man. And that's
You'll see the people coming through the doors and immediately, not to sound bad, but I can kind of tell like, all right, man, this-
But that's a true passion.
Yeah.
And that's your passion, right? So, I'm sorry, go back to the facility. You're talking about the gym, and then you found that the Stepping Stone building.
Yeah, right, so I found that, and I had to be the deciding factor. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, all right, in my head, I'm like, all right, I see what this place, I see the potential. So
right.
My cousin's like, hey, if you're good with it, if you think we could do it, let's do it. We ended up signing on that, and I think we had a few months, man, just to turn that place around. It was run down.
Sure.
And I mean, we come from the hood, man. We didn't have money, so it was just like we had to do a lot of stuff our own.
Yeah.
We literally did sheetrock. We didn't know how to do it, so we looked at YouTube. Tape and float, all that painting, stuff like that. I mean, we just got cousins, family would come through late nights, man. Thank God we always had that support system with people amongst us that they would come in, man. They come in a shift after work. Hey, man, come break some brick down. They were there, man. They were all hands on deck as long as we needed them. And that time we were kind of slowly promoting it. We would show people like what was coming, the demolition of stuff. Things like that. So I think that was getting some traction where people are like, all right, man, they're getting excited. There's a gym coming to the east side.
Right.
There really wasn't nothing, at least that we were bringing.
Sure.
With the CrossFit, the gym, and like kind of both in one. We ended up having, I would say, like a pre-grand opening. And that weekend, man, we made enough to be in the green, which like all bills paid. Like The gym was covered, man, which was amazing. I was just like, oh, shit, like, this is actually happening, man. Like, it's crazy. Like, the people are actually coming through. And we had...
And that opening weekend, you already had people sign up, and you were getting people...
So that Monday we started, we did pre-sign-up.
This is 2017. Now we're in 2017.
We did pre-sign-up. Yeah, February 18th is when we opened. That weekend, we had pre-sign-ups. By Monday, man, we were in the green financially as...
Wow.
Like... rents paid and some.
Nice.
Which was like, I don't know. I don't know much about business, but I'm like, I think that's good.
From the get-go,
Yeah, that's good. We're in the green. At that point, anything we needed, the gym was paying for it on its own.
Right.
Now, leading up to that, my cousin was the one that was more the financial side.
Sure.
Like we were talking earlier, man, I was like, I didn't come from that. I was the type like, man, if I had 20 bucks, I'm going to spend it.
Right.
That's just how I was, man.
Yeah.
I was just like, money's whatever. I just blew it on bullshit for the most part. Car parts or things like that or drinking. My cousin was the opposite. He saved money. He loved to save money, man. He didn't spend much, which I guess worked out in our favor in the long run. But he's the one that put up a lot, man. And I'm blessed, man, to have somebody like that back me. You hear a lot of horror stories about partners going in, man, and things don't
work
out. They bump heads. I think we were that perfect combination, man, where it's like, hey, man, you know your role. I know mine.
This is what you're gifted at. This is what your strengths are, and here's my strengths.
Like, you're a numbers guy, man. You're the financial back. You bring it. I'll bring the vision to life.
And that's also, it's family, too, as well. I see so many situations, even in family. We used to work with a restaurant chain here in Houston, and they were their family and brothers and sisters. And one of the brothers left to start another restaurant and literally named the restaurant after the original restaurant. And so we
broke off. Oh wow.
And so they hired us. They hired us after that breakup, and they hired us to do the marketing to go up against the brother.
Oh wow.
And like purposely. And so we would go, and then the brother would have us in conversation. Like, he would call us, hey, come have dinner with us at the restaurants. And we would have these conversations, and they would know who we were. And they were trying to get insights of
what
of course we would never.
What are they doing?
Yeah, what are they doing? But we were never going to be a part of family drama. But sometimes it's messy when you see stuff like that. It's almost sad too as well. You know, a bit of background, I mean, you know the chain, you have the Lorenzo's restaurants, you have El Tiempo and Ninfa's, right? Prime example, you know that they're all one family?
No, I don't know.
So Ninfa's, which was owned by Mama Ninfa, who started off in the 1970s, and she's the founder of the fajita, right?
Yeah.
And she started this restaurant on Navigation on the Houston's east side, that little restaurant there.
I've seen that one.
Well, it built Ninfa's into over like 40. I won't go too long for about this is not about Ninfa's, but it's an interesting story.
Yeah.
But the restaurant chain started with 40, 40, 60 locations across the country.
I thought they were just local.
They actually got on stocks. You were able to buy them on Wall Street in the stock market because they got so big. But Mama Ninfa died in the mid-90s. And then the family was fighting over it. They were fighting for over whatever.
That's the hard part.
And yeah, and they ended up, you know, having to, what they ended up doing was saying, okay, they had a dispute over the direction of the company. And one of the brothers said, okay, guess I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm going to start my own business. And that they were fighting over each other. And then, long story short, the main Ninfa chain from 50 to 60 locations across the country are now down to one or two. They're now one. They opened another one back in the Galleria, but the original location is right there on Navigation.
Yeah, I've been to that one.
Do you know what's right next door to Navigation? Next to Ninfa's. What's next door?
I don't.
It's Il Tempo.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Which is the Lorenzo family.
Yeah.
Which is the brother that left and started his own chain, but he purposely put that building right next to. There's another story, Hooters and Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I heard
you know
about
that story.
That. Yeah.
So everywhere you see a Hooters, you see a Twin Peaks.
It is hard, man.
Unfortunately, they're in a business, but you guys seem to have a really good relationship, and you guys have been able to build a successful business model to where you guys are today. So, I mean, props.
And I won't be like, oh man, it's the perfect relationship.
Sure.
It's like being brothers too. Like, man, you're gonna bump heads.
Mm-hmm.
He has his opinions. I have mine, and it's like, all right, well, we need to settle this. We need to find a middle ground to what's gonna work for the business. But we kind of work in the sense, man, that I'm always seeing things like what could be. So I'm like, let's go. Keep chasing things. He's more of the safety net.
Yeah.
So even in the beginning, man, it was like, I wanted
to. You have balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he kind of, he's
check the balance.
He grabbed my jacket and put me back or pump the brakes, Daniel. Like,
and sometimes he goes to what you're going with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, it was a lot of pushback because we were new to this.
Right.
And in me, it's just like, man, just spin. Sure. So there was a lot of more pushback in the beginning, man, honestly. Like anything else, like, we don't know what we're getting ourselves into. He's more concerned with like, hey, man, can we do this financially? Is it going to work? And I'm over here like, it'll work. We'll figure it out.
Well, I mean, today you're now in a facility.
Yeah.
Right. We could talk about that a little bit, but after you were about 4 or 5 years into that other facility. Then you moved into the new big facility you are today, which is quadruple the size.
Yeah, about quadruple. We went from about 6,000 to over 20,000.
The facility's phenomenal.
Oh, thank you, man.
Phenomenal. It's a beautiful facility. I've gone to different gyms across the country. The only gym I would say that it compares to is the Warhouse Gym in San Antonio, which is one in San Antonio and one in and also in San Diego. But
never heard
the Warhouse Gym there is a very nice gym. It's out in the middle of nowhere in San Antonio.
There's a lot of beautiful gyms out there, man.
Yeah, but you have, and let's talk about that. You have competition. You have tons of competition.
Yeah.
You have even down the street, I think you have Planet Fitness there. You have 24 Hour there. So you have the big box gyms. Then you also have the mom and pop gyms that's trying to compete, the popping up. How do you separate yourself from them?
Man, I truly believe, and not just because it's my gym,
mm-hmm.
I truly believe we have something unique, man, something different in the sense of we don't cater to one specific athlete, I would
say.
And I think that's what's always helped us grow. You've been there. We have everything, man, from your traditional bodybuilders.
Right.
We have a full powerlifting area. We have a full CrossFit area. And when I mean CrossFit, I mean legit CrossFit. Reason I say that, because there's a lot of gyms now popping up and they'll throw a rack and some bumper plates in the corner.
Sure.
Like, hey, we have a CrossFit area. It's like, not really.
Right.
The way I see it, I was like, you really don't. You could say that, but you don't. And not knocking them, but I come from a CrossFit background, so I know exactly what that community was looking for. I did that for years, so I knew the specific equipment that they used, from the rowers to the skiers to the wall balls to the rings, the ropes, everything they do. So that was one big thing that, like, I didn't, like, we went all out on that at the new place too. That was our bread and butter, honestly, at the smaller gym.
Right.
At the smaller gym, man, our community of the classes is what kept us afloat. Here, being that the gym is a whole lot bigger, it's actually reversed. Now, the classes are still good, still busy, man. They're still staying busy. But the gym is so much bigger that we have a whole nother clientele of bodybuilders and things like that, or gym goers, whatever you want to call it. But it's like that's tripled, quadrupled in size, the gym side. But I think just us, man, everything we offer is what sets us apart. That, and on top of the environment, the atmosphere, I would say.
The culture, the community.
The culture, man. Mm-hmm. And we've always been somebody that's like, man, we treat everybody like family, man. You come in through those doors, I've always been the type that was like, you're not just a key card here that scans in and like, don't pay no mind to you, man. We try to know everybody by first name. At the little gym, I did.
Sure.
I knew everybody's, for the most part, man, 90, 99% of the people, I could call them by their first name, man. I know what they were doing, where they worked, their family. Yeah. Here, obviously, I can't. It's a whole another ballgame with where we're at. But our staff does a good job, man, of keeping that going. From the moment you walk in, man, we want you to feel greeted a certain way. Hey, how's your day, man? How's it going? How's your kids? Stop and conversate with you, man. Your family there with us. And I really think that's what sets us apart, man, from a lot of the other people or other gyms out there. And just that we care, man. We care of the feedback that our members want.
Yeah.
We always ask, what could we do to improve this place, man?
Yeah. And then, like I said from the beginning of the show, is that, man, I'm a big fan. And I always speak, I'm a little biased from it, but, you know, I'm a big believer because I feel it when I go there. And that, I think that's there's something different that's happening there at your facility.
Yeah.
It's not just a gym. It's not just a CrossFit gym either. It's not just that. It's not even a training facility. It's truly a community of people that are all together trying to get better in life. And I go to the gym because to me it's therapeutic, right? So that's I tell people I'm going to therapy, right? And I have to hit a certain threshold to know that I hit my therapy threshold because I know that, you know, running a business is difficult. The stress, the taxes, the payroll, the employees, like Seth had over here on his phone, you know, the stress that everybody, that everything that we're fighting off everybody.
Yeah, man, that's your time to let go.
And that's my therapy. And when I'm there, you know, I feel that's like my place of grace, right? Where I go there and I feel welcomed. I feel like nobody's going to be judging me, and I'm just going to be on my own zone. And I've told this to my buddy before a while back, and he still asked me to today, but I don't know. I could probably count maybe four or five times in my hand the last 4 or 5 years that I've actually just broke down at the gym working out. You ever see that video of some guy that's pouring out crying while he's working out? I've done that, but I mean, I was going through some very traumatic times in my life.
That's what the gym is there for.
But that's where you feel that connection. But it's therapy for a lot of people. You know, and there's, going back to that therapy, I feel that therapy when I'm there at H&S, right? And it's the people. And when I was there a few weeks back in December, you guys were doing some type of event. I can't remember exactly what it was, the name of it, the event, but, and y'all were having like tug of war, and you know, you had chicken fajitas afterwards, you had barbecue afterwards.
It was just our Christmas event.
Yeah, the Christmas event. Yeah, that's Christmas cool, man. Party. I love that. And I feel like, you know, cause I come from church, right? And I feel like I was at church. Right. And it was people that just cared. And I could tell, and I realized that these people that were talking to come up to talk to, they were the employees and staff of your team, and they really cared for the people. So, man, props to what you guys are got going on.
No, thank you, man. And I appreciate you being there, man. I mean, we appreciate everybody that's there, honestly.
Sure.
It's like I tell our members all the time, man, like, you guys built this place. Mm-hmm. I mean, as much as I've put into it, I'm like, you guys made this place what it is, man. Y'all bring the vibe, the mood. I can honestly say I've seen all kind of relationships there, man. I've seen marriages, babies, BFFs, probably some divorces, but I've seen it all, man. Mm-hmm. For the most part, it's been positive. I've seen people literally, man, when we opened the new one, I had the group of the OGs, what we call them, from the old gym. Within the first month of opening, man, they were like just connected with a whole nother group of people, man, that they never met. You would have thought they were best friends forever. Like, they just went to school and it was like, dude, y'all just met like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's just like that moment on Step Brothers, man. It was like, did we become best friends? And it's like, that's just the environment, I guess. that's there, man. And we're there for it.
And you've been now in the new facility for a year?
Yeah. A year last month. This month, yep. February. Shit, where are we on?
You made a big step.
January.
Big step of faith. Big leap of faith.
Yeah.
To going from the stepping stone building to the facility you are down the street, right? It's almost just down the street.
Yeah, we used to run. The crazy part is we used to run down that street. We would call it our hood run.
Right.
We were basically in the hood.
Uh-huh.
But I never knew that building was there. Like I never, it's one of those things, you're not paying attention to it. Yeah, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But we would literally run by that property down that one street on the side.
Right.
We would always run by there, but I just never thought of it, never looked at it like that. And it wasn't I was speaking to a member of ours at the old gym. And at that point, we never really talked personally. It was just like that trainer to coach conversation. And then we started talking more one-on-one, man, more personal. And come to find out, he was in real estate, construction. This dude did it all. He does a lot of stuff here around Houston. I just threw it out there. I was like, man, we're looking to probably grow here soon, man. Like, we want to expand. He comes back to me a few months later. He's like, hey, dude, there's a property literally in the neighborhood. Like, it's going to go up. Being that he was a realtor, he had access to stuff that wasn't on the market yet. I blew him off. I'm gonna be honest. I blew him off the moment he said it's in the neighborhood. Cause I'm like, this neighborhood isn't the best.
Sure.
So if you're telling me there's a warehouse in there, like, I just don't see it. So I blew him off for a few months.
And it was literally
the facility
you were running by
every day. About 3 months in, man, he's like, hey dude, it's about to go on the market. Like, next week. Are you sure you don't want to go look at it? I was like, let me go look at it. And we ended up going. I was like, oh damn, this shit is literally right down the street. When we pulled up on the side, I mean, you've been through the side now.
Sure.
I was like, oh my God, this thing has some size to it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, he never told me how big it was. I was like, dude, this thing is massive. And once we went inside, like, that I was sold. I was like, dude, this is it. Like, it was just an empty warehouse. My mind was already like, dumbbells here, CrossFit area there.
There's a visionary.
Yeah, like it was already going to work. I was already seeing where everything was going to go. And at that point, I brought it up to my cousin. And in the beginning, man, it was there was pushback. Because keep in mind, too, this is during COVID. COVID had just hit.
Right.
This is not the perfect time
everybody's for any locked
entrepreneur
down.
To try to expand.
Yeah, you're only going to the gym if you are able to go to the gym with a mask.
Yeah, some gyms were closing.
Closing, right? Going out of business.
So it's like us trying to pivot and to go bigger was kind of like, is this stupid of us to try to do this? Like, but I was like, you know what, dude? This is a deal we can't pass up. And I think there was some times when my cousin was like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could do this.
So that's a dreamer.
I was getting visionary. To the point where I was like, look, dude. Either you're coming with me or you're not. It's happening. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to figure it out. Like, this is the spot. I see it. I know it. This is it. And I think it stuck to him for a little bit. Man, after a while, he's like, let's do it, man. He jumped in. So it's kind of like all right, let's get the ball rolling on this one. And even then, building up to that, dude, my head was like, all right, 2019, I think, is when we – is it? No. Shit, man. I'm bad with numbers.
Yes.
We're going on 1 year there. I mean, 2023. Yeah,
right.
That's when we spent a year, about a year looking for like the banks and all that stuff to help us out. And it was just getting hard for us due to COVID and everything. Like it was hard to get those finances for you for something that big. Cause we were leasing the older one.
Right.
This one we were actually looking to purchase.
Yeah.
Like, you had to buy it. It only made sense to us if we're going to buy it.
Especially build it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in my head, I was like, all right, we'll get financed and in 3 months we'll be up and running. That was my goal. 3 months max, we'll be up and running. So we kind of did all our money for that. Like, all right, man, we'll do our finances for 3 months. We'll be down. We'll close this gym. Sure. We'll open it up. The city got involved. That shut us down for about a year and a half. And when you're paying on the old gym and you're paying on the new gym and you're only hoping to be down for 3 months.
Oof.
Dude, that took such a financial toll on us where it got to the point where I was like, I don't think we're going to make it. Like, I just don't see us doing this anymore. Like, we are drained. We can't keep moving forward with this. Dude is killing us.
Money just going out the door.
Yeah. I mean, and
my cousin was
the breadwinner of everything for that part.
Right.
Thank God the old gym was still kind of sustaining us for that most part. But you're talking about these big, we had to remodel this whole building. It wasn't like, let me spend $6,000 here.
Yeah.
It was like, no, $70,000, $80,000 here, $20,000 there, $60,000 here. And this is in all big chunks. And it gets to the point where it's just like, yeah, dude, our pockets are empty. And my cousin hit me with that straight up honesty. Like, I can't do this anymore, dude. Like, something needs to give or I'm done. He's like, at that point, he was pulling out money out of his pockets. He's pulling money that he had saved. And it was just like, I felt bad because it's like, man,
what do we do?
My hands are tied, dude. I don't have the finances like that. Just because, kind of backtracking a little bit to the old gym, about a few years before we started transitioning to this one, I stopped getting paid.
Yeah.
And that's the dirty side, the side that people don't see.
Yeah,
everybody thinks it's all.
I tell that all the time. Is that, you know how many times the business owners, we don't get paid so that others can get paid?
Yeah.
Whether it's our employees or whether it's our vendors or whatever. There are how many times that, I always say this, cash is king.
Yep.
Right? Always have cash. Even at the end of the year, you're like, man, I made millions. But where did it go?
Right? Oh, yeah, man.
Right? And then it's like, cash is king, but then also it's like, just put your money aside for rainy days. Yep. But even the rainy days, sometimes they're not, days turn to months and months turn to years.
Or it just starts pouring, man, to where it's like in our situation,
We
couldn't do nothing. Our hands were tied. The city completely stopped us. So at that point, I didn't have money where I would say put aside, saved up, because everything that I chose to stop getting paid so I can reinvest back into the building. So I was like, all my money was going into that. So it's not like I had, hey man, I have X amount of dollars, let me put it back in. Like, bro, I don't have nothing either. Yeah. My hands were tied. I felt bad. And it got to the point where it's like, okay, I had some 401 in pension from Coke.
Mm-hmm.
And although everybody's like, oh, that's your retirement money, I'm just like, dude, I don't plan to retire with this money.
Yeah.
I plan to
retire. Business is retirement. Him.
Yeah. So at that point, my cousin's like, I'm done, dude. Like, I have no other resources. I don't know what to do. And I mean, given he didn't have no hair already, but he's like, man, like pulling my hair out.
When I started, I had hair too.
I just made that decision personally, man, to where it's like, okay, then I'm going to just pull what I have from Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
I didn't tell him because I didn't know how smooth this was going to go. So I was like, let me do the process. Let me start the process to see what I need to do to pull out my 401, my pension and everything.
Right.
And again, this is a conversation I had to have with my wife as well, because it's just like, hey, man, this is what has to be done.
Right.
But she's always been like, this is what we have to do. Let's do it. Let's make. She always seen.
That's that. How important is that? You have that certain other half. You know, I tell business owners or people about to get into business and they're married or have a significant other, and I tell them, make sure they're on board.
Yeah. I think it breaks a lot of people, man.
Yeah.
Because if that spouse or that significant other isn't with you, dude, it's hard.
Like, you're fighting.
You're fighting her. You're having to put this fire out and this fire out, or people get divorced over that.
Yep.
Dude, honestly, that's the reality.
I was just telling a buddy how high divorce rates are for business owners.
And I can honestly say, dude, I'm not going to say it's been an easy ride for us, man. It's still not. To this day, it is still not, man.
Right.
Finances still aren't where you would want. You might look at the gym and think the opposite.
Sure.
But
I'm pretty sure people walk in there saying, oh man, you're rolling in money.
You got it made.
Yeah.
Like, no, bro. It's the opposite. Like, I just started getting paid again recently, bro. And it's not like this X amount that you would think.
Right.
Because we're always putting back. We have staff now. There's just a lot more on the overhead side.
And whatever money you do make, you put it right back.
Yeah, you want to give it back, man. But it was just, I went through that. Didn't tell my cousin. I ended up getting approved a lot faster than we expected. And I just kind of hit him up with like, hey, dude, I got X amount, a few more thousand. Like, he's like, what? I was like, yeah, like, I know it's not much, but this is what it is. And it was just like that relief off his shoulders where I could just tell in his voice. He's like, dude, you do not understand like how
stressed
I can breathe.
Yeah.
Although it's not the end of it. Like, I know there's going to be more finances.
But there's life. There's life at the end of the tunnel.
But he's like, damn, bro, I can breathe again now. And this was over about a year and a half, man, of just trying to stay afloat. But towards the end, man, we started getting things rolling with the city. Things were moving in the right direction. We got permits again, started building, started everything back up. And at that point, we got to the point where we stopped telling people where they were like, when y'all opening? Where y'all opening? And it went from 3 months to almost a year and a half. I was like, you know what? I'm not even saying shit no more. Because I feel like they're just like, this dude's full of shit. Like, y'all ain't ever gonna open.
Right.
So I stopped saying it. I'm like, look, dude, this is the situation. It is what it is, especially to our old members. I was like, I'm just not saying nothing, man. When we get there, we'll get there. And when I know we're in the green, we'll let you guys know. So kind of fast forward to few months before opening, it's like, all right, we can start telling people now, like, hey, this is where we're at, man. We're finally moving in the right direction. We have an opening date. at that point, we just started social media, pushing it, mm-hmm. doing everything, putting videos as much as we can. Throughout that process, though, I was always documenting it.
Sure.
Like, I would be at the gym working in there,
right.
putting things together, just kind of do it on my Instagram, on Facebook. That way people are like, yeah, okay, they are making progress, or there is stuff happening. There is a lot of the build out. They were able to see it as it was going. So I wanted them to kind of feel like they were like part of that journey.
Right.
Like, oh, damn, man. Like, yeah, I felt, and I did get that from people, like, damn, man, I feel like I got to see the whole process of it, which is pretty cool. Till we fast forward, man, till we got the green light, and that just kind of relieved everybody. Like, all right, we could start making money, because we were just looking at numbers like, dude, every month we are down. We are losing this.
From a period when you were actually making money constantly.
To- yeah. So it's like, we need to open. We need to open. And yeah, it's about 2 years in, man. And then finally we were able to,
get in.
Let's get a date. Set that date, started pushing it, trying to get out to the public, try to make a big opening. And it went good, man. I mean, it was what we expected and more, man.
And again, beautiful facility. One of the best that I've seen.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I see the visionary there. You know, it kind of goes back to, you know, you're the visionary. You talked about how cars and stuff like that and how you can see the end product. What do you attribute that to? Like, where does that come from?
Man, growing up, I guess just the whole car thing and stuff like that. Dude, I was just always...
What got you into cars? What got you into...
Growing up, my dad always had pretty cool cars.
Okay.
Like, he was always into muscle cars.
Wow.
So that always attracted me to
the cars,
man. I'm actually rebuilding right now. I'm in the process of finishing up a car that he had, a $68 Charger that I always told myself, man, when I can afford it, I'm going to restore that car. He had restored it back 30 years ago, but this humidity down here in Houston took its toll and rusted it out. But my dad always had some cool cars, man, some old muscle cars. And that's just, I was growing up, I had Mustangs and stuff like that. So it was just kind of, I guess that's where that came from.
It's full circle. You know, I think people see, they don't understand. I tell people this too, as well as this. That's what we talk about with childhood.
Yeah.
Right. And talk about from where we started. You know, when I first started up, my dad gave me, I was 9 years old, he gave me a lawnmower. And that's, to me, my first business. Because I would go mow yards, go door to door. He said, here, mijo, here's a lawnmower.
Make it happen.
Go cut grasses, because you're not going to sit here at home and watch TV every day. And I would sit there and go mow yards. And that taught me about business. Yeah. It taught me about sales at 9 years old, you know, and things like that. But I hear the visionary in you, where you could see something and you're saying, okay, I could turn a warehouse, an empty rusted warehouse in Houston's east side on I-10 in Normandy, right? Normandy, you know, and to what you see today, it's the light of the community. You know, the facility is phenomenal, and I could see all that when I walk in there, the vision behind it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's to me, that's just like somebody could see a car and they could see, you're like, wow, they could turn a car that's rusted and in junk and turn it to, you know, something like, wow, this is something worth value.
Diamond
in the rough.
Yeah.
And that's what you did. And I think that's what makes it, I mean, the building is one thing, right? The people is another, right? Yeah. You have the people and then you have the building. People are spectacular there. Then you have the building there, and I'm like, man, I could see where there was that touch. There was a creative mindset behind this, because you still walk in into a building where it's like, man, this looks, it's modern.
Don't look like clean. It should be here.
Yeah, it does not. Yeah, it's modern. It's clean. And you go into a gym that's half the metal, rustic, old school style gym, but with the modern touch to it.
And that's what a lot of people like. I don't expect people to come in and look at those details.
Yeah.
But those are things like me and my partner, like that we would know. But if I didn't explain it to you, the thought behind it, like that, it all ties in together.
And there's a story there.
For example, everything from the color of the equipment, it's actually not colored. It's just the raw steel. Like you get raw metal off the yard outside when they build these machines. My idea was like, all right, I want this to have that industrial look.
Yep.
So we got with the manufacturer.
And it fits the community.
Yeah, that too, man. It just goes with everything that's around us.
Yeah.
I got with that manufacturer specifically, and that's just something they did for us. I wanted that raw look. We've always been like a raw, no bullshit gym.
Sure.
That's kind of what we if you go to our social media, that's what it is. In the sense of like, we tell you how it is. We're not going to sugarcoat you. I'm not there to fluff you up or do anything. Those that know me personally, man, they know me. They know I have a side to me that it's like, hey, man, when this business is business, if I need to say something, I'm going to say it.
Oh, yeah.
And some people don't know
me. Shit.
Some people don't know me, man, and they know me from social media.
Yeah.
Because our staff will tell me, like, yeah, man, they're afraid to say something to you. But I'm down to earth, dude.
Sure.
I talk to everybody, man, and those that have met me, they'll know. But if you haven't met me and you only know me on social media, it's just like damn, this dude's kind of rough. But I feel as an owner, I got to come off like that.
Sure.
Because if I don't say nothing about certain people doing certain things, then you're just going to keep doing it.
Yep.
I'm like, I have to put my foot down at one point and let you know, hey, dude, you're fucking up. Like,
yeah.
You need to get your shit together. Or
absolutely.
We're going to let you know.
Yeah. There's a time to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just kind of back to the whole process, man, of the gym.
I mean, even the restrooms.
Yeah. Everything in there.
And I look at that too, like the restrooms, because, you know, I take showers there or whatever. And I hate if I would go to the gym and if it stinks in the locker room, right? If it's smells like mold or whatever, it smells good and it's clean.
And that was one of the biggest things, man, when I told my cousin when we were building it, I was like, the restrooms have to look better than our house restrooms. I'm like, in my head, I was like, just kind of playing around, but not really. I was like, if I could sell you at the restrooms, you're sold
right
with the rest of the gym. The rest of the gym is a plus.
Sure.
But going to other gyms, man, I see that. They just don't care about certain stuff. But yeah, like you said, the restrooms, man, every little detail in there from the partitions.
Even the soap.
Everything.
Smells good. I haven't.
That's all my wife's stuff.
You know, it's crazy. I took a picture the other day. I was in the restroom and I was in there taking a picture of the soap. I was like, well, this smells good. What kind of soap is this? So I could buy it. I don't know what kind of soap it was, but it smelled unique. It was different. But it wasn't like you guys didn't buy cheap soap.
No, it's just those are little things too, man, that my wife brings to the table. Yeah. It's like those little details, stuff like that. It's like feminine products in the girls' restroom, man. A lot of people don't do that. We get it. Things happen. There's emergency, so we supply it. We don't have to, but we supply it. But yeah, those little details, man, from the 15-foot restroom ceilings, man. Mm-hmm. I just thought, like, damn, that's different. The curtains, the partitions. If you pay attention to the partitions, they're raw steel. It's clear coated. It matches our handrails that lead you into the gym. It matches the machines, like all of those little details, which
it all
like I said, the average person is probably not looking at
that. Visionary.
But those details were to me to like, all right, everything needs to flow together.
Yeah.
From the lighting, everything we did, man, to the lounge. We're still not done with that, but even that,
you have the storefront in the front. And then you also design all your clothing and apparel.
It's the other thing we have in the apparel brand as well. But at the old gym, we used to have like 2-3 shirts hanging. That's all we had. But being that we have a brand, I was like, all right, at this new one, we actually need a storefront. Mm-hmm. I want to have our stuff on display. In my head, I was like, I'm going to have people from everywhere dropping in. I'm like, one day The Rock's going to show up, stuff like that. That's the only person I'll tell my staff, like, hey, man, if he pulls up, let me know.
Yeah.
I even got a bottle of tequila that he makes, man.
Yeah.
I was like, but no, back to that. I felt like this is the perfect time to really push our apparel is just have our own storefront. So why not? So when we built that out, everything from the shelves, from the coloring, did a lot of research, stuff like that, man, to the layout. I kind of looked all that up, man. I was the one that kind of designed, put everything in place that made it happen. I just wanted that feel, man, when you come in, from the moment you walk in, even our door, if you paid attention to our front door, it's not a 6 or 8 foot average door, man. It's a 12-foot door, steel door at that.
And it fits the look.
The moment you walk in with that door, it's like, oh, damn.
It's part of the experience.
Yeah.
That's what it is, an experience.
Yeah. And that's what I was like, I want people to walk in, from the moment they walk in, to be like, wow, this is a gym?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the feedback we get, man. So it kind of worked out. But we're still not done with it, but that lounge area is supposed to be a coffee bar, smoothie bar, what we have coming soon.
Right.
Just that whole vibe, man, where I want people to come in, relax, get a drink. If you have to work, pull up your laptop, man, like you would at a Starbucks, but you're at our gym.
I've been there a few times on Zoom meetings too as well.
There's a few dudes I'm walking in, man, and they're on meetings and I'm like, that's cool though, man. Like, we'll offer the Wi-Fi for you to do that. That's our ultimate goal there. It's like, hey, man, kick your stuff up, bro. Get a coffee. It helped a lot of people in the morning because now we didn't have showers at the old
one.
So we went from one stall to 3 showers, 3 stalls, locker rooms, everything. and the guys, and then same the thing in the girls. So it's like going from nothing to having that, man. It's just like, I think a lot of people have really seen the process we've been through, man.
And was that step worth it?
Oh yeah, that was a huge plus, man. We had day one members that would either live in Pearland. They would come to the gym, go home, back to Pearland, shower, and then come back to work on this side of town.
Wow.
So for them to be able to work out at 5 a.m., shower, and stay on this side of town and just go to work, dude, that just cut their life.
But it was worth it to get to the facility.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, man, to where we're at now.
Yeah.
There's still so much more, man. Yeah. There's a lot that I have planned. Like, I'm already looking at 5 years down the road.
And you're now also a man of faith.
Yeah.
You're a man of faith. And tell me about faith. And, you know, I feel like I've worked with, in the last 25 years, I have not worked with one business owner that was atheist. And, you know, I believe you believe in something, whether you believe in, you know, Muhammad, Allah, or Jesus as your savior. Every one of the business owners that I've met, they believe in something greater than them. Tell me about faith in your experience.
Man, definitely. I believe in God, man. Mm-hmm. I pray as much as I can. I wish I could go to church a lot more than what I do. But when we do get a time to go, man, which I think we actually go to the same church now. But even though I don't go as often as I would like to, man, I still every day I pray, talk to God while I'm driving at home. And I just thank him for everything, man.
Right.
I know this just didn't come into my head just like Daniel thought it.
Yeah.
Like, no, man, I'm sure these ideas, man, God put them
God-given.
And he's like, hey, man, look, you have this potential to do this. It was ultimately up to me to make it happen. But the ideas were there, man. And I know it's from him, man. And definitely getting my little girls involved with it as well, man. Like, they started going, they love it. They look forward to going to the classes and stuff like that, man. So just having that in our household, man, I'm a big believer of God and everything, man. And just,
but it helps apply to the business too as well, because sometimes that's all you have is faith.
Yeah.
Right. That's all you have is faith. Like, God, like,
I don't have, I'm not gonna,
we don't have the work to get the money. There's been times I can tell you, I was telling you about the experience we had 2 years ago, and we had a near collapse and we lost $1.2 million. And,
yeah, man.
And man, I the only thing I had was faith. And I was, you know, there was times I was like, I don't know how to make payroll. And there was a time when I told my wife, and we just came, you know, we're just going to believe in God and just do it until the wheels fall off. Just till the wheels fall off. That's our slogan now, till the wheels fall off, right? When people say, what's your plan? Till the wheels fall off. That's my plan, right? But we had payroll done. Cessna over here was waiting for a paycheck. He was supposed to get paid on a Friday, and it was like Thursday. And we're like, okay, we don't have the money to pay him tomorrow, but we're just gonna figure it out. The next day, my wife calls me and says, hey, there's $50,000 in the bank. I'm like, what happened? She goes, oh, one of the clients, they double paid us. And I said, well, how'd that happen? So she called the client, said, hey, you guys double paid us, and said, you guys want us to refund the money back? She goes, the client said, that was by accident. Can you guys could just have it for the next month in advance.
Oh, wow.
And things like that.
Yeah,
and like
things like that
is crazy, and like just like crazy things like that. And I tell people that you're not lucky, but you create luck by keep going. Like you find the luck, you create the luck, and it's not truly luck. I believe God is looking out for certain situations, and I believe one door closes is closed on purpose. Right, there's a purpose behind it, because he's trying to guide you in a certain direction. You know, when I hear your story of the visionary and the dreamer in you, and you're when you could see junk and you make it, you see a treasure in it. I see that. I could tell that it's not just with material things, with people too. And I'm like, that's God. Like that's God in you, who is showing you, like, okay, it's not, you cannot, I tell people this, you cannot teach talent. Talent is God given.
Yeah.
That's it. I have some people say, I'm a designer, I could do great photography, I could do this. If you don't have the creativity for it, if it's not God-given creativity, you just don't got it.
And things like that, dude.
Yeah,
like,
you got the creativity.
I have no background in that, but I mean, you know, we've talked personally, man, and that's just something I do the media. I do yep. the advertisement. I do the apparel designs. I coach. I maintenance. I still do everything yeah. here at this gym, man. It's like nothing has changed. If anything, I picked up more jobs. But it's one of those things, man. It has to get done. Ultimately, my goal is not to do everything forever.
Yeah.
I'm blessed that we're moving in the right direction, man. And I was just talking to somebody about that a few weeks ago where it's like, it's crazy going from me just manning the front desk, literally sleeping at the gym, at the old gym. I had a cot. I would sleep there, man, sweaty, no AC, but that was just, that's what had to be done.
Yeah.
To now having about 13 people working for us, under us, man. It's just like, I look at that now and it's like, damn, that it's amazing, man. Just what, never stopping and just keep going, man. And keeping that faith, dude.
Yeah,
there was faith. Times where I was like,
you're sleeping in a cot because you believe in something.
Yep. And I think that's where a lot of people fail, man. They expect overnight success. And they're upset because in 6 months, they didn't get what they were looking for. It's like, dude, you haven't done nothing. Literally, we're going on 8 years, and I feel like we're not even doing nothing yet.
Same.
But I went in with the mindset of like, all right, this is going to suck. I'm going to have to eat some shit for a pretty long time before I start reaping anything from it.
Yeah.
And that was the sleeping there, the not having anyone to help me, man. I would have random guys or members at the old gym. I didn't even know them that well, but it was like, for example, if you came in, I was at the front desk, like, hey, dude, just let me know if somebody comes in. I'm going to go take a nap right quick because I couldn't leave the gym. I was like from 5 a.m. to 10 at night. I was everything that needed to be done there. That was part of it, man. That's the thing people don't see. That.
And when you see something, you'll do no matter what you do whatever it takes to make it happen. Even if it means you don't get paid.
Yeah.
Even if it means you got to sleep. You know how many times I slept here? You know why I have, so you know what, in this office, I have showers. I have showers here. When I was building a building in San Antonio, I had a shower. We had a custom building that we were building built, and I specifically asked for a shower.
Like, because I'm going to be here.
I'm going to be here. And then I have a room called the nap room being built so I could sleep. And it was a phenomenal facility we were building there. Unfortunately, that fell through, part of my story. But, you know, it's because of the importance of, I know the amount of time that it takes to be here. I was here just a few weeks ago sleeping here for 2 or 3 days. Because you got to roll up your sleeves and you just got to get it done. And nobody's going to get it done like you.
Yeah.
No. Nobody's going to make it happen like you. Nobody's going to, they're not the visionary. They're not the dreamer that we are, right? And when people are looking for, if they're entrepreneurs, you're watching this, you know, it takes grit. It takes the dream, right?
Yeah, man.
And you got to pay the price. It takes everything.
Knowing that not every door is going to open when they knock. You knock, man. It's. Mm-hmm. You can get 100 no's before you get one yes.
Yep.
But
yeah.
You got to be willing to accept that.
Right.
If you're willing to throw in the flag immediately, man, this wasn't
you weren't
for
built
you.
Up. Right.
This you're wasn't not, for you. Not, and it's not for everybody, right, bro. You know how many businesses fail? Like, it's ridiculous the amount that do. And just in this time we've been open, man, there's been so many, unfortunately, gyms that have just been around us that have shut down. And I'm not saying it's because of us. I mean, that maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But I've always been a firm believer. I was like, hey, dude, Houston's huge. If you're not making it, you're not doing something right.
Right.
And one of those, like, don't stay stagnant either, man. Like, that's why I'm always like, how can we do better, be better, grow this place, man? What can I do to keep our customers happy? At the end of the day, man, that's our focus, is how can we make you guys happy and want to continue to be here? Because I know the moment I stop, that next big shiny gym opening up down the street, that flock of people I have, they're going to go over there. That's the nature of us, man.
You got to be 2-3 steps ahead.
Yep.
And always evolve.
And I see people trying to mimic what we're doing, but it's like, I'm 8 years ahead of you.
Yeah.
What you're doing, I did 8 years ago. So it's like, I'm already looking at what else can I do.
And you're willing to sleep at the gym. You're willing to take showers there and live there.
That's why it's hard. I tell when some people are like, man, I want to do this. Like, do what you want to do. Don't copy someone else.
Sure.
Because what you're doing, they already did 3-5 years ago.
Yep.
So that's old.
Right.
By the time you get to where they're at, they're onto something else. So you need to be original with what you're doing, which is, I think that's what we did.
Yep.
We weren't doing what Joe Blow down the street was doing. It's like, hey, man. And I had a lot of people like, man, that ain't going to work. Like, all right, if it don't, we'll pivot. We'll do something else. But this is what I feel is going to work. And I stuck to my gun, and here we are.
Comparing yourself to others is probably one of the worst things you could do as a business owner.
Yeah, I
I've learned that myself.
I believe that, dude.
Yeah.
a lot of people will ask me, like, man, who'd you look at for inspiration, this and that? And there wasn't. Now I do follow other gyms, but and even my cousin would tell me, like, hey, man, so-and-so is doing this. I was like, honestly, dude, not that I'm cocky. I'm just like, I don't care what they're doing, because I felt if I'm worried on what the person down the street is doing with their gym, it's going to consume me so much that I'm going to try to replicate that. That is going to derail me from what the vision I have. I don't know if that's what was one of the factors that led us to just keep moving forward our vision. And I never kind of fell off of that. But I think if I would have been focusing on the success that this gym is doing, sure, I would have tried to copy that.
Right. And you could get ideas, like say that's a cool idea. Like they have this business model and that's an idea. But like at the end of the day, man, be yourself.
Yeah.
Be you. Yeah. You know, I'm like, to this day, I'm 12 years in. This year, my agency is nominated from one of the top agencies in Houston.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
And I was telling you about how our taxes have gone up. I'm like, what the heck? I'm now at this level of a tax rate. But I still set back and I'm like, man, what the heck? Like, why do people still hire us?
Yeah.
You know, I try to stay.
You're doing something right.
Doing something like, and I get it. Like, man, we work hard. These guys work hard. They work their asses off and they see, I push them really hard, by the way. I'm a very tough boss if you work for me. But I'm a big believer and dreamer of people and,
bringing out the best in them, man.
And some people don't get that. But you know, the thing is that I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, people are still coming to us and want us to do their marketing and they want to hire us. And I'm like, why? Because I look at my competitors when I do compare, which I shouldn't be doing, but when I do compare, I'm like, they got better video work. They got a better website. They got better commercials. But you know what they don't have? They don't have Hector Garcia.
Yeah.
They don't have Cesar.
I mean, they can have the best stuff.
They can have all that, but they don't have them.
And that's how I kind of relate to like the gym. I was like, man, I feel like you can have this multi-million dollar gym with the best of the best. That doesn't mean you're going to be a successful gym.
Right.
It just means you have cool stuff and top of the line stuff. We had a rundown gym holding the wall, and dude, the community was what saved us.
Right.
That's what got us through everything. So it's like they don't,
yeah,
you have something that they don't have, man.
Right.
You with the people, your work, the way y'all communicate, work with each other. And I feel that's what we bring to our gym,
is
the environment, the way we treat people, the way we do things. Like I said, I don't think having the best of everything, man, just translate to bigger numbers financially. It's like what's going on the inside or behind the scenes that makes it happen.
Well, you're doing something phenomenal there at H&S, and you guys are doing definitely something right, and I'm glad to be a part of that journey. I'm
glad to have you.
See there. You know, before we head out and close out this podcast, you read?
Yeah, occasionally here and there, man. I could do a lot more reading, but I try to, man. But I don't have some of this library of books to like.
Is there ever a quote in your life or something that you, like a motto or a quote that you live by that you say that kind of changed your life or you kind of just...
Honestly, no, man.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to sit here and lie to you. I just, nothing comes to mind.
Well, hustle. Hustle means something.
Well, man. Just do the work. Honestly, bro. Like, and that's kind of our motto, man.
What does that mean?
And the crazy part is, like, that wasn't our original name.
Right.
We used to be House of Gains.
Uh-huh.
That's who we were originally.
Right.
House of Gains Gym, Hog Gym.
Right.
It wasn't until a few years in, a few other House of Gains were popping up, not even locally, like in other states. I just felt like I don't want to be affiliated with them, or I don't want people to feel we're affiliated with them. So we need a pivot now that we're small. But at that point, I was already doing the apparel, which is H&S apparel. The apparel was something I started on my own. That has nothing to do with my cousin. I just felt like I wanted something for me.
Sure.
I do all the designing of the apparel. That's just me. I do all of that. But at that time, I just felt when we were entrepreneurs or business owners at that time, I caught myself saying that a lot. Like, man, hustle never stops. Hustle never stops. Like, just playing around, but I would just say it. I ended up Googling it and be like, man, does anybody have this?
No.
As common as it sounds, no one had that trademark. No one had that. So I trademarked it. I registered it. I got that trademarked. And at that point is when we were kind of like, all right, we need to transition the gym. What are we going to do? I didn't, being that was like my brand, I want to say, I didn't want to sound pushy with my cousin, my partner, and be like, hey, man, I think we should do this.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, he's my partner, and I wanted this to be like a mutual agreement over the way we do things. So although I wanted to tell him, hey, bro, let's just do H&S Training Facility, I never did because I didn't want him to be like, well, damn, you kind of forced me into it. I left it alone. After a while, it ended up popping up. My wife brought it up. She's like, man, have you ever thought of just rebranding it to H&S?
Right.
And I'm like, man, funny you ask. Like, I didn't want it to come from my mouth. And we kind of had to sit down with my cousin. By that time, I had like apparel mocked up. I had the gym mocked up, like with our logo and everything. Just a random building I found.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought it to his attention, man. Kind of like this whole ready to roll, man. This had all the everything laid out, what it would look like with the logo. And I gave him this whole little portfolio deal. And he looked at it. He's like, yeah, man, sounds good. Like, shit, why not? Let's roll with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the pushback wasn't there. And we just thought if it went with everything we were about. Like, the name just went with everybody. I didn't want to have a gym, especially with the apparel, where it's just tied in. For example, if you come to my gym when it was Hog Gym, if you bought my shirt, I didn't feel like it was going to be something you're going to represent outside of there. I wanted a brand that people could wear anywhere casually. I mean, you're wearing it now.
Yep.
Thank you.
And how many times I get asked about this shirt? People come up to me and say, hey, where'd you get that shirt from?
That was my idea behind the brand. Mm-hmm. I wanted more like an athletic streetwear, things you can wear anywhere. Like, this is one of ours too. We're dropping this Friday, oversized shirts. We started getting into that. And I just felt like the model still fit the gym. Like, the hustle never stops, man. This is for everybody. Like, you're in here, you're going to do work. You're going to keep doing work. We're never done with ourselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? We can always improve one way or another. I know a lot of people say like, oh, this practice makes perfect. I don't believe that because I don't think you'll ever be perfect, man. It'll make you better.
Right.
But you'll never reach that point of perfection. And I just felt like, man, like, yeah, this name is what it is, man. It goes with us.
Never stops.
From the bodybuilder to the stay-at-home mom.
So it goes from the entrepreneur to the bodybuilder to the person at the gym to the person that's...
To that soccer mom taking her kids to soccer, to working. Like, I felt anybody, man, that could just fall within that.
It never stops.
We are, man.
Never stops.
I truly believe that.
It's like me, I'm 43, I think. I keep my friend. At one point, certain times you forget your age, but I'm 43, and I'm like, okay, at what point do I stop working out? But I'm like, nope.
You can't.
Because you know why?
Hustle never stops, man. That's it, bro. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. So to watching, that camera right there is yours, by the way, but to the entrepreneurs that's watching or people that's looking into starting a business, what's maybe one or two things you want to tell them?
Stop overthinking.
Mm-hmm.
Do it now. I think so much people, they overthink it so much, man, that they never do nothing.
Right.
Like it kills them, dude, because they have these dreams, these visions of what they want to do, what they could do, but they just never pull the trigger, man, and it just holds them back to, by the time you know it, man, somebody that was 20 thinking of doing this, they're our age in their 40s, and they never did nothing with their life, man. I think that's a big regret some people have. Nothing's going to be perfect. It never will. There's no manual for this. Like I said before, I still don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I still tell people, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, dude. I'm just going with the flow of things, making it happen. And by the grace of God, I'm moving in the right direction. But just do it, man. Just start. Like, the time will never be perfect. We all want to have so much money. We all want to have our family back us. We just want to be in that perfect position, but it's never going to be there.
It'll never be perfect.
Never. Even now.
It'll never happen as you plan.
Now, honestly, your problems are going to get harder.
Yeah, right.
I just feel like so much more, man, and that's part of it.
That's true, brother.
You got to enjoy that process, man, because like we've said before, this isn't for everyone.
Well, Daniel, I appreciate your time, man. And one more time, the Hustle Never Stops Training Facility. How do people reach out to you?
We have social media, website, H&S Training Facility on Instagram, Facebook. It's just Hustle Never Stops.
Yep. And we'll make sure to put it here on the podcast too as well.
Or the website, man. And if somebody's interested, man, if you're in the Houston area, you've never been there, we offer 7 free days, which I used to be against in the beginning, bro. I used to be like, man, you come in one day, you know if you like
it. That's actually got me hooked in.
I think the 7 days was a big pivot point for us, mm-hmm, and getting people in there. It allows you, it gives you a lot of time, man, to kind of see like, all right, is this place really for me?
Right.
So yeah, man, if anybody's interested, you're more than welcome to come try us out, man, get your free 7 days. Yeah, man, come see what it's about. I think walking in, experiencing it in person will definitely change your mind if you see it online or social media.
Well, it's a fantastic facility, and just not this facility, the community there. It also never stops training facility in East Houston, I-10 in Normandy. Thank you guys for watching. It is Beyond the Hustle podcast. I am Hector Garcia. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Watch us on YouTube. We're on Spotify, Apple. Big shout out to our producer, Cesar. Cesar is the man beyond the hustle as our producer here. Thank you guys for watching. Appreciate it. Hit the share button. Share this to your friends, family, and on social media. Thank you guys for watching.